For several years now, there's been a rise in popular television shows that feature female-driven stories and lead characters. And we're seeing a surge of women writing, directing, and producing TV shows and films in an entertainment industry that men have traditionally run. For more on this trend and how this is changing the TV landscape, we're joined by Jen Chaney, a pop culture writer and critic for Vulture. Jen, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
There are so many shows to talk about. There are dramas like HBO's Big Little Lies and Sharp Objects. There's Hulu's The Handmaid's Tale. And there are also comedies like Amazon's The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and AMC's Dietland. You know, so many of the biggest shows out right now are featuring these female-driven narratives and lead characters. How do you explain the rise in this kind of content?
Well, you mentioned Big Little Lies, which was a huge success for HBO about a year ago or so. And I think that has really helped kickstart what was already in the works, which is just more of an effort to have female voices on TV. There's still a lot more that can be done in that department, but I think that a lot of strides have been made simply because there's a recognition that a lot of women are hungry for this kind of storytelling. And frankly, because the TV landscape has gotten so large, there is just room for more kinds of stories to be told. You know, there's Hulu and Netflix and Amazon, and so many of them want original programming that, honestly, they'd be foolish not to have shows like this, and they've seen success with it. So once you have success, that's just going to breed more of the same.
And you said, Jen, that women are hungry for this kind of content, but is it just women? Are these shows getting wider viewership than maybe would have been expected a few years ago?
Oh, for sure. I don't mean to suggest that only women are watching some of these shows. I think Big Little Lies, again, was a show that had great appeal to both men and women. On the comedy side, a show like Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, I think, appeals to women as well as men. So certainly there's a wide audience for it. But in terms of, you know, as you said, seeing female characters who are really driving the stories, and oftentimes seeing women behind the scenes as well who are telling these stories, I think that's the real change.
Do you think that all of these shows are by definition feminist? Because some people have embraced that and some have kind of distanced themselves.
Right. Well, I mean, feminist at its most basic level is simply the idea that women should be considered equal to men, right? And so certainly I think the underlying notion of these shows is that women are equal to men. But I think you see something even more than that. And I actually wrote a piece about this at the beginning of the summer about how this was the summer of Me Too television, meaning that a lot of shows were really addressing a lot of the subjects that have come up as a result of the Me Too movement and the Time's Up movement. And that, to me, is definitely feminist. I mean, what you see going on in a show like Dietland on AMC, where part of the show is about this vigilante group called the Jennifers, who are going after men who are perceived to have been abusive toward women.
Yeah, I'm kind of rooting for Jennifer. Is that a wrong thing?
Vigilantism is a slippery slope.
You are correct. They should really only do it two, maybe four more times. I got some names for them.
I mean, that is feminism to its maybe most extreme, and not necessarily in line with some of the values in terms of the violence involved. But this idea of women rising up and sort of speaking out and wanting to be equal, I think that is very much at play in a lot of the shows we're talking about.
Jen, several of these shows deal with very difficult topics. One that comes to mind right away is The Handmaid's Tale. It's been criticized by some as torture porn, and looking at the horrific treatment of women in this dystopian future. There's also concern that's been raised about the show Sharp Objects, that it might glamorize self-harm while it's shedding a light on that issue. Where do you think the line is between brutally realistic or just plain brutal depictions
right.
of these issues?
Right. It's very tricky. And the line, I think, is different for everybody. I think one of the things that makes The Handmaid's Tale difficult is the fact that it seems reflective of certain things that are happening in the culture now. For example, in the second season, you know, just as this debate has been happening about the way we're handling immigrant families and separating children from their parents, there were episodes of The Handmaid's Tale that were debuting on Hulu where you specifically saw babies being taken away from their mothers.
How are you going to keep her safe? How are you going to keep her safe? What are you going to do? Are you going to lock her up here like an orchid?
My daughter will be raised properly.
That makes the horror of it that much more hard to watch, because it does feel real, quote unquote, in a sense. But I think there's just an element of, for me anyway, do I feel like what they're doing is organic to the storytelling? Is it necessary? And are they not getting gratuitous with it in terms of, you know, gore or violence or things like that? And with Sharper Objects, which you just mentioned, I feel like they have walked that line very, very carefully. It's hard for me to imagine somebody watching that show and wanting to emulate the behavior that Amy Adams' character is engaging with, but I don't think the show is condoning it. In fact, HBO has put a disclaimer at the end of every episode suggesting this is where you can go, you know, for help if you have any of these issues. So I think if you can sense that the creators are really trying to demonstrate a level of responsibility, for me that is certainly helpful.
We're talking with Jen Chaney. She's a pop culture writer and critic for Vulture. We're talking about how women and female characters are driving a lot of what we're seeing on TV these days. And Jen, it's interesting because there can be strong female protagonist roles that look very different from show to show. And so some are women who are basically just performing what would stereotypically be shown as masculine feats, you know, lots of, like, basically an action movie on TV and, you know, take out male hero, insert female hero. And then there are others where it's kind of giving women a different way to be a strong protagonist. What do you think it means that we are seeing women in both those types of roles?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, especially I think in the movies as well, for a long time, the notion of a strong female character was just a woman doing things that we typically see a man do, which, you know, there is something entertaining sometimes about watching, you know, a female superhero or what have you. But I think what's different now is that we're seeing women that are doing things on women's terms and really in female language. There's a show called Killing Eve that aired on BBC America, its first season, and it is in a lot of ways what you might think of as a typical quote-unquote male type of show, in that it's a cat-and-mouse thriller. You've got a serial killer, and you've got a person from MI5 trying to track her down. But it's two women, and the way that they communicate with each other, you know, the serial killer taunts her by sending her really beautiful clothes that fit her perfectly, and she uses perfume at certain times as a weapon. And that, to me, is very female kind of vocabulary around something that typically has been a male genre. And that's kind of pushing it in a further direction than we've seen before, I think.
I want to make sure we talk about some of the comedies that fit into this discussion, like Dietland, like Mrs. Maisel, and Netflix Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Humor can be difficult to use. It can be very effective to talk about difficult issues, but I think there are even more pitfalls than treating it in a dramatic sense. How effective have some of those shows been in handling serious issues?
Dietland is probably the trickiest one because it dances between genres so much that I would almost hesitate to call it a comedy, even though oftentimes it is comedic. I think Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and certainly Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt are a little more straightforward in the way that they use comedy. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is about a woman who becomes a stand-up comedian and sort of an outrageous stand-up comedian in the 1950s at a time when it was really, really unusual for a woman to do that. And so, you know, comedy is what really empowers her.
So my life completely fell apart today. Did I mention that my husband left me?
Woohoo!
Okay. All right, but did I mention that he left me for his secretary? She's 21 and dumb as a Brillo pad, and I'm not naive. I was a great wife. I was fun. I planned theme nights. I dressed in costumes. I gave him kids, a boy and a girl. And yes, our little girl is looking more and more like Winston Churchill every day, you know, with a big Yalta head, but that's not a reason to leave, right?
And so I think that's a really great use of comedy. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, I think, has done something especially tricky because, you know, that's a show whose premise is basically like a Lifetime movie. This is a woman who was kidnapped and held captive by an awful man for many, many years and is finally released from her prison and then goes to New York and has been so out of the loop on society that she doesn't really know how to react to everything.
What in the ham sandwich? I just got a job.
Please tell me that you're normal. I need someone here to talk to.
Oh, I'm very normal. I've had everything normal happen to me.
So it's sort of this mix of, like, Lifetime movie, but also a Mary Tyler Moore, like, girl in the city is going to make it on her own type of thing. And they rarely play a moment for just straight drama. Like, even when they deal with subjects that are very, very touchy, they find comedy in it. And comedy is almost a form of denial for that character. And I think they've really touched on that in interesting ways. But you're right, it's really tricky to strike the right balance.
And Jen, as we start to wrap up, are we seeing powerful women behind the scenes? Is that partly what's driving this, or are the characters on the screen allowing for more powerful women in scripting, directing, producing?
We're starting to see more of that, more women behind the scenes. You know, with a lot of the shows we're talking about, they sprang from female minds. Amy Sherman-Palladino created The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Marty Noxon is responsible for Dietland, and she also is the showrunner on Sharp Objects, which is adapted from Gillian Flynn's novel, and Gillian Flynn played a role in adapting it for series. But, you know, I think we still need to be seeing more female directors, more female showrunners. You know, you look at the Emmy nominations this year, for example, in the Best Drama category, and there's only one show, Westworld, that has a, you know, co-creator who's female, but every other show was created by a man. And I think that while there's been progress, there are still some barriers that need to be overcome in that regard, for sure.
Well, Jen, thanks so much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Jen Chaney, a pop culture writer and critic for Vulture. She joined us to look at the recent rise of television shows that feature female-driven narratives and protagonists.